From NPR and WBUR, I'm Scott Tong in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Deepa Fernandez in Alameda, California. It's Here and Now. Maple Shade is a quiet New Jersey suburb. Its motto is nice town, friendly people. But in March of 2017, an Indian tech worker, Sasikala Nara, and her six-year-old son, Anish, were found brutally murdered inside their apartment. The details were shocking. The murders were never properly investigated. That is, until a team of journalists took up the case recently. Their investigation is the subject of a new season of the podcast Strangeland. And while it falls firmly into the true crime genre, it also delves into issues of immigration, domestic violence, and failings of the criminal justice system. I'm joined by Ben Adair, who co-hosts the podcast with Tinku Ray. Ben, welcome to Here and Now.
Thank you so much, Deepa. It's great to be here.
So the case, the murder of a foreign worker from India and her six-year-old son, disappeared really quickly from the local news. How did you find it, and why did you decide to dig into it?
Well, Strangeland is a series that we launched with AudioCheck just a couple years ago to look specifically at how immigrants interact with the criminal justice system, both as victims, as accused, and also as perpetrators of violence. What we found is that the situation, the troubles that they go through are very different than English-speaking Americans or Americans who are raised here. So we cast a wide net to try to find a really interesting story, one that hadn't been covered and one that would allow us to get into a lot of these issues. And that's how we found the tragic circumstances of Sasikala and Anish.
And we don't want to give too much away, but I have to say what the listener believes at the very outset about who might be responsible and where you end up after a long investigation, for me, were quite different. How does a journalist's investigation of a brutal crime like this differ from police or law enforcement?
In this case, it seems to be the main difference was that we really cared. We really took the time to try to track down as many people as we can, neighbors, friends, family, anyone who would have knowledge of the victims, of the potential perpetrators, you know, their lives and what may have happened to them.
And why do you think law enforcement didn't do that? And even their initial investigation right when the murder happened was really lax. Why?
Unfortunately, as we see with these cases, when immigrants are involved, they just don't really seem to become a priority for law enforcement. There's so many reasons why these cases are hard to investigate. Immigrants often are more worried about their immigration status than standing up and talking to cops. Immigrants will often think that their work or their visa could be in jeopardy if they interact with the police. That made it hard for us too, but fortunately, like, because we are journalists, people did speak with us, and we were able to talk to a lot of people that they say the police just didn't even bother with.
Now, your investigation seemed to stall at some point. You try to get the authorities to open up about the case, but they're mostly reluctant. And the most you get is an outdated statement from the detective in charge of the case now. And let's play this exchange, which occurs.
The bodies of Sasikala Nara, age 38, and Anish Nara, age 6, were discovered inside their unit at the Fox Meadow Apartments on March 23rd.
Can I stop for a second? I'm sorry. Her name is pronounced Shoshikala.
Sasikala.
What's really astounding is that the guy reading this statement almost says it right. The PR flack jumps in with a mispronunciation, and then our co-host, actually, who is an Indian immigrant herself, says, oh, no, this is how you pronounce it right. And it just, for us, from where we were talking to the police, you know, they were consistently telling us that this was an open and active investigation, but couldn't point to any one thing that they had done in the last 5 years. And it just goes to show, even after 5 years, they still can't get the names right.
Now, one of the things that you did that the police didn't do was try to find out about the little boy, Anish, from his teachers, from kids in his class, their parents, even his martial arts coach, who had an image of what Anish was doing on the night of his death. Derek is his name, and here he is talking about it.
I often think about what happened that night, and I fully believe that whoever was trying to hurt his mother, he was trying to protect her.
Were you surprised about how forthcoming people were about little Anish?
everyone that we spoke with about this story, the first thing they wanted to talk about was Anish, because they didn't want him to be forgotten. He was such a special kid.
And alternatively, finding out anything about Sasikala in the local community was one of your biggest obstacles. Why?
Very difficult. She worked at home. She was really kept under lock and key, it seems. People told us that her husband wouldn't let her go out. So she really was disconnected and kept away from having friends, from being friendly with neighbors even.
And a key theme of your investigation is this issue of isolation, the isolation of a community within the isolation of women in their families. Why is that isolation such a problem?
You know, we talked to a number of people who've made it their jobs. They founded nonprofits and shelters to help specifically women from either India or from overall South Asia. And they say, unfortunately, this is a big problem for Indian couples who move to the U.S. The traditions and the culture really keep women from reaching out outside their houses. Mm. And at the same time, there's a patriarchal family structure that can keep them under lock and key. It's very sad.
Mm. And then the U.S. immigration system doesn't help because it heavily favors the visa holder and their spouses have few rights or protections. I know Sasikala herself was a tech worker. Did it impact her at all, do you think, in terms of maybe trying to break out of that isolation?
The visa situation affected all parts of this investigation. With her specifically, we can't know what her visa status was. That's not public information. But we do know that the company that she worked for brought in lots and lots of couples. The husband would be on an H-1B visa. The wife would be on a spousal visa. Both those visas are tied to employment. So if the employer decides for whatever reason they don't like you, then they can just cut you off and send you home. But a wife's spousal visa is even more difficult because that's also tied to the marriage and to the husband. So if there is domestic violence or problems in the marriage, the woman can't really say anything or else her visa could be revoked and she could be sent home.
You also look at the company that brought Sasikala and her husband to the U.S. Why? What were you trying to learn about them?
There is a lot of exploitation that happens because of these H-1B visas. You guys have talked about it a lot on Here and Now, I know. When someone's visa, their livelihood is tied to their job, it makes it very difficult for them to stand up for themselves, for them to exercise their rights as individuals. They can be subjected to very poor working conditions. They can be subjected to long hours. And if they say anything, they lose their job, they lose their visa, they lose everything. We found this to be the case even as we were talking to potential witnesses for this case. Nobody wanted to have any interactions with law enforcement. Nobody wanted to have their names associated with this case because they worried that would reflect poorly with them and the workforce or with the immigration officials. So the best recourse for them is to just stay silent.
Now, this week marks 6 years since the death of Sasikala and Anish. There was a vigil over the weekend. That's 6 years of being an open case with no movement in the hands of the police. And obviously you're working to try and resolve this case and bring justice for them. Do you see justice as ever being served?
I think it can happen in cases like this. When it does, it happens because people get concerned and they start to put pressure on the elected officials. They start to put pressure on the prosecutors, on the government of Mapleshade, for example, or the Burlington County Prosecutor's Office. So we've had a lot of listeners reaching out to the prosecutor's office, to the Mapleshade Police Department, to the mayor of Mapleshade. They're telling them that they want justice. And we think that that's really, really important for listeners to do. It's really the only way that they're going to start to take this case seriously.
Ben Adair is co-host of the podcast Strangelands with Tinku Ray. Season 2 is about the murders of Sasikala and Anish Nara. It's out now, and you can find the podcast in any podcast provider. Further details of the case are at strangelandpodcast.com. Ben, thank you for your time and this crucial reporting, and I really hope more comes to light.
Yeah, thank you so much, Deepa. It's really important to us to keep Sasi and Anish's story alive.
You're listening to Here and Now.